Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I greet you in Jesus' wonderful name. And I trust that you've had a blessed and safe 4th of July holiday celebration. And since we are reflecting on the blessings God has given this country, I thought I'd share a few things that I learned at our annual ministers' convention about our founding fathers. Did you ever stop to think why we've been so blessed here in America? What makes America so unique? We're the only nation that doesn't average a revolution every 30 or 40 years. Think of that. We operate like no one else. We're not better, we're just different. When we look at the rest of the world, the governments, the transitions, the changes they've had, France has had 15 different constitutions. And what have we enjoyed in America? We did have the American Revolution. Of course, we did have the Civil War, but we've, in this nation, had stability and prosperity. In fact, if you are below the poverty level in America, you're still likely to have more living space than anywhere else in the world. Even, in fact, the middle class in Europe, you're likely to have a TV or a telephone, an air conditioner. And so we have been so blessed in this nation. But what sets us apart? Well, President Andrew Jackson said, he said, the Bible is the rock on which our republic rests. And Reagan, our president, former President Reagan, said, none may be said to be more fundamental and enduring than the Bible. That, beloved, is why we are an exceptional nation. And John Adams pointed to Pastored as to the reason of why we have what we have as Americans. All 27 points of the Declaration of Independence were actually preached before that writing of that document from the pulpits here in America. They established our philosophy of government in this document, and that's so different from anywhere else in the world. In fact, historically, I understand that we actually sent a copy to Europe, and in their British newspaper in 1776, they said how crazy it was. They said, people aren't equal. We're not created equal. We've got lords. We've got kings. And in everything, basically, then as we read that beautiful document, it was preached from the pulpit. Pastors literally and actually form public opinion. John Wise says in one of his sermons, he talks about the consent of the governed. In fact, much of the verbiage comes from his sermons. And when the Revolutionary War was going on, the highest death rate among the prisoners were pastors. The British executed the pastors because they knew that the influence of the pastors led the people. So they were the ones that were targeted. And in the early years of our government, there were annual sermons that were preached every year. They had an election service. And these sermons were preached before our legislators. And they talked about God's biblical rules for lawgivers. They took the word of God. This is what God says for you to do. They didn't preach a salvation message. They made it applicable. 3 years after Lexington, they said, let's see what the word of God says. The happiness of a free government and the means of preserving it. And so they were concerned about standing fast and firm in their spiritual and temporal liberties. And they gave an understanding of what God's freedom is as expressed in the Word of God. And those kinds of sermons that were preached shifted the thinking of the common man. The church that met in the Capitol, think of this, it was the largest in the nation. Praise God. In 1800, the House and the Senate shared the building. Records showed that the chaplain asked for this to be used on Sundays for the church. And the Speaker of the House said, fine. And the Speaker of the Senate was Thomas Jefferson. He approved, and as president, he attended church there. In fact, he actually commandeered the Marine Corps band to lead worship at the Capitol. Perhaps he wasn't that impressed with what they'd had. And Jefferson made these statements that no other nation has ever existed or been governed without religion. And he's quoted as saying, "I, as the chief magistrate of this nation, am bound to give it the sanction of my example. The Christian religion is the best religion that has been given to man." In 1801, he becomes president. And, you know, there's been a lot of writing out there, even by some Christians who say, well, you know, our founding fathers are really, you know, they were Masonic New World Order people. They were deists. They really weren't the Christians we make them out to be. And yet, beloved, whatever their imperfections or error that they may have had, no one's perfect, yet they were used of God to create the founding documents, the very republic, the structure that we still enjoy today. The devil's doing every attempt he can to corrode it, beloved. But Thomas Jefferson, you know, he was the first one to talk about separation of church and state, but very few really understand the reason why he said that. He was concerned about protecting religious liberty. He wanted government to keep from interfering from the worship of a religious body. If you read his original writings, it wasn't until the 50s and 60s that his real intent was overlooked. And he was saying that the church was to be protected from government. In fact, he allotted monies to missionaries to minister to the Native Americans. He believed there should be separate institutions, but he believed also that nothing was better for a nation than religion. In 1864, they were still preaching in the Capitol. And that's why John Adams said pastors were responsible for what we enjoy in America today. Our very Constitution is based on about 1,500 Bible verses. When the 13 colonies came together, well, they each had their own ideas and none agreed. So after about, you know, 4.5 weeks, people started leaving. And so Ben Franklin, he calls for prayer. And George Washington says they took 3 days off. Listen to this. And they went to church for 3 days. They were seeking God. And they went to a church of a pastor, a Reverend William Rogers, and he prayed, "God help them to be unified, heal the things which separate them." And within 6 weeks, they came back together, and it was written, our Constitution. It talked about separation of powers. There's references in Jeremiah 17 and 9 about separation of powers, three branches of government in Isaiah 33 and 22, a tax exemption for churches in the book of Ezra. So this Constitution, basically, once it was formulated, was sent to the churches to be ratified. And 44 of the ratification delegates were pastors. And after the ratification, there were all kinds of parades, and it was full of pastors. The Word of God was involved, beloved, from the very beginning and the inception of this nation. The clergy, was quoted, formed a very agreeable part of the procession. Their sense of connection between religion and good government, they understood that. And beloved, that's why we have been so successful. That's why people from every nation of the earth want to come to America. Because we have been, it's been the influence of Christianity. In spite of whatever has been said, we are a Judaic Christian nation. That's our roots. Psalm 33 and 12 says, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord." That's, beloved, why we've been so successful. And there are forces today that are trying to uproot, destroy every good and valuable thing that has been, that made this nation great. Beloved, we need to pray. We need to get involved, especially to pray. It's not, the weapons of our warfare aren't carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Charles Finney, who was a great leader in the Second Great Awakening, they made the Word of God practical when they preached and impacted the culture, not just the heart. And he said, our preaching will bear its legitimate fruits. In Matthew 28, 18 and 20, Jesus gives us the Great Commission. And we've lost it because many have just interpreted that as a call for evangelism, you know, just get people saved. But the challenge was for discipleship, to teach them everything that I've commanded you, Jesus said. What doesn't the Word of God deal with? We've made converts, but not disciples. We have the freedom of choice. It's a biblical concept, and we don't always think biblically. If self-defense, that's The Bible's clear about that. So we shouldn't be confused. And so many of God's people even have been motivated by secular humanism, which is so pervasive today. The concepts that we enjoy, private property, that's a big biblical concept. Social economic issues. You know, we shouldn't be scared to talk about things that the Word of God talks about. The Bible equips us for every walk and work in life. Now, the Supreme Court in recent years have wanted to, you know, put everything in its own little box, compartmentalize everything. In 1984, it was illegal to post the Ten Commandments. Why? Kids might be influenced. But our founding fathers understood that we can't compartmentalize our faith. We have marching orders from the Word of God. And the beautiful principles that are found in the Word of God shaped our nation. You know, it's Satan's design to keep men ignorant. In the time that our country was birthed, most were illiterate. And so what was one of the first things done? Education was proposed. And the very first book, the first primer, was extremely religious. It was passages of scripture. That was the whole point of education. The Bible verses were to teach the youngsters how to read and adults. So this was the first textbook in America. And the concepts such as sanctification, justification, adoption, those were first graders were reading that. In 1860, only 17 of the colleges in our Americas were not started by churches. 91% of the college presidents were gospel ministers. The vast majority of colleges were denominationally affiliated, 83% in 1884. In fact, there's a quote, "To God and prosperity, you are accountable for your rights and your rulers." Beloved, Jesus told us in Luke 19 and 13 to occupy until I come. That means we're responsible for what happens, what we do or don't do until he gets back. So we don't have the luxury of just checking out until Jesus returns. Reagan said in 1985 that we have good reason to be hopeful and optimistic. Let's seize back a country and a world to freedom. Beloved, we have a choice. We can pray as never before. Let's seize and bring back those Christian principles. We need to get our people back in that place. Apply the Word to the world that we live in. Revival comes when we make it practical. That's our challenge. And when we will pray and humble ourselves and seek His face and turn from our wicked ways, then He will hear from heaven and heal our land. That's my prayer, and I trust it's yours today. God bless you. Happy 4th of July. And until next time, this is Sister Judith saying, may God's best.
Well, this has been the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Sister Glass. Thank you for spending time with us. We pray it's been a time of ministry and encouragement for you. If you would like to write to Sister Glass, there are a couple of ways you can do so. You can write and address your envelope to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code, or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop Sister Glass an email. Again, write to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho, 83606, or send her an email through our website, unveiledchrist.org. And please remember that your prayers and tax-deductible support allow this ministry to continue on this station. Until next time, God bless.